It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I tell you, I'm reminded today how old I'm getting. Couple of things. This day, today, the 26th of March, 2001, was the last ever episode of Monday Nitro. WCW went out of business. And it's kind of mind-boggling to think that, you know, I was doing wrestling hotlines back then for almost 4 years. And just to reminisce, you know, just WCW going out of business and what transpired next. You know, I was a rabid, diehard ECW fan. I had the privilege of doing a little work for them for the final year that they were in existence. And they had closed down just a couple of months before. And then here comes WCW also crumbling down. Now, you know, it was a little sad, but I was also excited that WWE was going to get even bigger and better. And that lasted for a little while, and then it really sunk in that you really needed a strong number two, and NWA TNA was not it. It was a nice, you know, alternative, but that weekly $9.99 pay-per-view, in order to keep track and keep up with what's going on, no free TV at all. You either paid to see TNA or you didn't get it at all. Yeah, but I'm reminded today that it's 22 years already that closed down. Plus, you know, tomorrow's my birthday, and I'm not saying that for birthday wishes, but I got a phone call from my mom today. You know, my mom, you know, she, as the years go by, I know the birthdays mean more and more and more, but, you know, she was telling me like, oh, you know, this day, you know, back then I was sent to the hospital. I had to be there by a certain time. And, you know, I didn't have you until 9 o'clock the next morning. So that, and then we started talking and, you know, September 11th, think about this for a minute. I know a lot of you have seen the picture of my dad with Hillary Clinton a couple of months after September 11th happened, because a plane went down a few months later, a couple of blocks away from my parents' house. And my dad bringing food, water to all of the rescue people and, you know, got the privilege of meeting Hillary, took some pictures with her. And we were talking about that today, and it hit me all at once that I don't have the picture handy, but for all of you who have seen that picture, let this sink in. How old I am now is how old my dad was when he met Hillary, you know, a couple of months after 9/11, and that blows my mind. It blows my mind that I'm the same age now than what my dad was September 11th. You know, it really puts things in perspective, but look, we are short for time tonight. It is WrestleMania week. It begins technically tonight, and I am really excited, man. You know, we don't have as many matches scheduled compared to last year, but boy, you know, as I have said for the last couple of weeks, you get three really good matches each night. Yeah, we got a good WrestleMania, you know, because I don't care what WrestleMania you choose. I don't care if it's WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 10, WrestleMania 13, WrestleMania 2000. I don't care what WrestleMania you come up with. When we usually reminisce about a certain year of WrestleMania, you usually only talk about two or three matches. The year that Brock Lesnar ended the Undertaker streak, do you talk about any other matches, really? When Shawn Michaels retired Ric Flair, do you talk about any other matches, really? WrestleMania 3, you talk about Hogan, Andre, and Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage. So you look over the years of WrestleMania, we get three good matches each night, and we are. We are. You think of Ray and Dom, that's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're going to get Hedge and Finn Balor, The Demon, Hell in a Cell, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, The Usos. versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. We got some women's championship matches. You go up and down this card, and I think Logan Paul and Seth Rollins is going to, I don't even want to say it's going to steal the show, because even though Logan Paul is just a part-time, maybe even less than a part-time player, I mean, you can't deny that this guy is delivered. Especially, he faced Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia, and come on, anybody criticize his performance? No. So, I tell you, even though there are some people out there trying to get noticed by saying, oh, this year sucks, and I'm not feeling it, and Vince had to put his hands in the cookie jar, and he fucked up Bray Wyatt, and he fucked up Brock Lesnar, and he fucked... If you remember before those matches kind of, you know, went downhill, and I don't even think they're going to go downhill, you know, were they really talked about? Did people really want to see Bray Wyatt versus Brock? We all wanted to see Brock versus Bobby Lashley, and they bumped that up for the Elimination Chamber because of the sale and because every event has got to be over the top. That's why you keep hearing, oh, SmackDown just broke their all-time record. Raw just broke their all-time record. This bit, because every... You can't pass up any opportunity. You're talking about billions of dollars up for grabs. Billions. Billions. And as we get closer to summer, I don't think, you know, as we get closer, WWE may not be sold. And they're going to have to take the offers off the table. And then we have to wait a couple of years because of the TV rights deals. You know, we've been talking about this for like 10 months now, that you get past a certain date. We don't know what exactly that date is, but it's sometime between spring and summer. If WWE does not make a sale, they now have to negotiate new TV rights deals. And let me tell you something, the later you get in the year, the less leverage WWE gets, because the last thing that they're going to do is not work out a deal and watch their stock plummet. And they got to work out a good deal. So, you know, for now, WrestleMania, it is going to be big. We're going to get some surprises. I hear a couple of names being thrown around, and, you know, I'm not going to spoil it, but if even half of these names happen, this is going to be a WrestleMania to remember. It's a WrestleMania to remember. But I want to welcome everyone to the sit-down. I just want to do a couple of minute opening. I hope everybody enjoys this week. You know, even though it's WrestleMania week, we do have AEW, we do have NXT. You do have your other alternatives as well, Impact Wrestling, MLW, while it lasts on Reels. I think they only have, what, 3 weeks left on Reels. But this is going to be a fun week. Now, a little announcement for our friends out there that might be interested in this. I know we already mentioned it yesterday, but not everybody tunes into every show. And I'm going to let you know now, this is going to be probably the thumbnail for tomorrow's show. And it's only because, you know, as it circulates online, people will get word of it. But Kev and I are going to do a WrestleMania prediction show. We're going to do it Tuesday live for our Patreon family. But it will be available for everyone online on Thursday. Thursday at 12 noon. So if you want to check out WrestleMania predictions, you got to go to DonTony.com. From 12 noon Thursday on, it is going to be online. It's going to be scheduled. So as soon as it hits noontime, that episode is going to drop. And, yeah, we're going to get into both nights, night one and night two. I haven't decided how to handle the recaps of WrestleMania. And I see that Ronnie, who is pretty much responsible, you know, I want to make this clear, Ronnie Ciullo, who's one of our patrons and a channel member here and is always financially supporting what I do, he made a very generous contribution to Kevin and myself to do a prediction show. I mean, I told him straight out, we're probably going to do one anyway. But look, you know, you could see it. You could see it. We did Forbidden Door 2 weeks ago. Did you notice nobody out in the podcasting world, you know, other than maybe one or two people, like, even mentioned it to anybody? We don't need plugs. You know, we don't need hits, likes, retweets. But it's kind of nice to know that people who are supposedly your friends, you know, would be like, oh, shit, these two guys are back together. Wow. You know, guys, you know, these guys go back 18 years. Nothing. I mean, literally nothing. A couple of people did after I mentioned it the other day. But, you know, your initial reaction usually says it all. So, you know, a few people are joking around, people that I trust, and they're like, hey, DT, they do not want you two to get back together. Because if we start doing things on somewhat of a regular basis, which I don't know is going to happen, you know, but it's all about schedule and everything else. But, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are really showing that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's cutthroat, but it's all good. It's all good. So for the next 50 minutes, because we are going just an hour tonight, because we have a lot of content being dropped this week, the Q&A is going to be posted online for everyone on Tuesday. Tomorrow, we have the final Raw before WrestleMania. Wednesday, we're going to talk briefly about Dynamite, some AEW discussion, and we're going to do NXT Stand and Deliver predictions. Thursday, obviously, WrestleMania 39 predictions drop. Friday, I'll probably take off because we got the Hall of Fame, we got SmackDown, and obviously Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns are going to close out SmackDown in a very, very big way. Very violent way as well. And then we got WrestleMania weekend, and then next week is the night after WrestleMania. The NXT after Stand and Deliver, probably going to have a new champion in Carmelo Hayes. And then 2 days later, I'm on vacation. So there's a lot going down. So for my friends out there that already know the format, you know, just allow me for a few seconds to explain it to those who may not tune into the sit down on a regular basis or might be new. Every Sunday here, we do the sit down and I basically show up with nothing. I show up with a blank piece of paper and you choose the topics, whatever you want to talk about. I will talk about as long as you're in the chat, obviously, since I haven't learned the talent of mind reading as of yet. If you send a super chat, obviously they're not required, but they are appreciated and will always get VIP immediate treatment. You know, it's very appreciated. And some people send them before we go live because they want their stuff addressed early. And we're going to kick off with two. And then in the chat room, before your question, put capital letters, the word question, so it stands out, it's spotted. And if I do answer your question, wait a few minutes before asking another one. Let it spread around a little bit. But for the next 45 to 50 minutes, let's do it. Let's see what everybody wants to talk about. All right. We got Big Sal with the five spot. Dynamite main event is Kenny Omega versus Jeff Cobb. What's my level of excitement for this match? And it feels like Kenny Omega's being shoved down our throats. Okay. My level of excitement for Kenny Omega versus Jeff Cobb. Listen, I tell you the truth. I mean, sometimes it pisses off a lot of people. Obviously, I don't fit into the cake and ice cream crew because of my bluntness. I honestly, whether I see this match or not, I'm not interested. Like, I'm indifferent about it. Jeff Cobb is not on American television on a regular basis. Jeff Cobb has zero personality with the American audience. Jeff Cobb reminds me of Rhino. I like Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb is a talented wrestler. But just because someone's a talented wrestler doesn't mean that I have to drop everything that I'm doing and invest in that person. You know, there's a lot of people that work in off-Broadway that are not Hollywood stars, and they might even be more talented than the Hollywood stars, but still they don't get the audience because they're not household names. Honestly, just because Jeff Cobb may give some people that amazing feeling on their leg, to me, honestly, I don't care either way. Oh my God, I got to watch that? Why? Why? I mean, El Hijo del Vicenio was different because we've talked about him. We didn't need him to take on Kenny Omega for excitement. We talked about him two or three times in the past. You know, he could be this generation's Rey Mysterio, but sometimes he is so out of control with his offense, you're just waiting for an injury to happen. And I don't want to see that happen to Vicenio. And the guy is incredible, is amazing. How somebody, the human body, could do what he does, I have no idea. But I'm afraid that this guy, you know, you see some of the spots on Wednesday. We're supposed to look the other way because nothing happened. But you're talking inches between a serious head injury or a neck injury or an amazing spot. I don't want to see him get hurt. You know, if you look at a lot of Ray stuff back in the day, one thing you will notice about Ray stuff is most of the time, a lot of his flips and his high flying was to the middle of the ring. And yes, he would dive to the outside of the ring as well, but there used to be crazy amounts of clearance. Once in a blue moon, he'd go over the guardrail and you would hold your breath. But not with these tables positioned outside the ring, right by the apron and near the guardrail. You know, you're playing Russian roulette. So, you know, there are some wrestlers that I'm intrigued and amazed. Jeff Cobb, though, I don't have that excitement for. Now, as far as Kenny Omega, look, we don't know what's going to happen in November. If Kenny Omega is going to leave AEW to go to WWE, then I think AEW, it's smart for them to capitalize as much as they can on Kenny Omega right now. I mean, Kenny Omega is one of their top stars, top five, at least top five. And he's healthy. He's healthy. And, you know, yes, he has said before, one more serious injury and I'm done. So he's not looking to get hurt. But, you know, they're going to get their money's worth. And I'm going to make a prediction. I think we're going to get MJF versus Kenny Omega. I haven't heard anybody talk about that. I think we're going to get MJF versus Kenny Omega in the summertime. And Kenny Omega, I think, is going to be in position for a singles run. Now, look, we got Forbidden Door that's going to be coming up. Obviously, reforming, realigning with Hangman Page. That's more to help Hangman Page. Because with all due respect, a lot of the guys in the Dark Order are likable. A lot of the guys in the Dark Order are very, very committed to AEW. A lot of guys in the Dark Order work their asses off. But a lot of guys in the Dark Order, they have a niche fan base. And Hangman Page, his whole storyline is around the Dark Order. John Moxley thing is old. So putting him with Kenny Omega again, that's to help Hangman Page more than anything else. But remember, we have Forbidden Door coming up in June. So a lot of what you're going to see on TV now is going to lead to Forbidden Door. And that's why you got your Jeff Cobb. That's why you're going to have your suddenly the Juice Robinson and Ricky Stark stuff. This is going to lead to Forbidden Door. My hat feels big. You know why? I got a haircut. Too short. That's why it feels short. So I think they're getting their money's worth with Kenny Omega. And I think we're going to get MJF versus Kenny Omega in the summertime. So we'll see. We shall see. Thank you, Sal. Ronnie, with the 10th spot. I'm totally pumped. You and Kevin are doing WrestleMania predictions. What are the chances of a DTKC WrestleMania recap? If I made another offer, you two couldn't refuse. Don emoji. Oh, that's one of the custom emojis. DTKC for life. Thank you very much, Ronnie. You know, he sent Kevin and I a nice, generous gift. Asked us if we wanted to do predictions. And it really came down to Kevin's schedule, but, you know, he was very, very generous. And, you know, listen, you made an offer that we couldn't refuse, but I don't want anybody to think that we're only going to do it if, you know, we get something in return. What we did 2 weeks ago, it was a little bit overdue. We did it because people have really asked for it. And it's been eye-opening in the last 2 weeks. You realize that there are a lot of people that want us to keep the friction. As far as doing a recap, I'm going to just tell you straight out. I know Kevin does shows with Wrestling Soup. I am not going to get involved with that. I'm not going to interfere with it. And I'm not going to put Kevin in a situation where he has to choose. He, I'm pretty certain, is doing a recap with Wrestling Soup. So that's not happening. The only way I could see a recap happening with Kevin myself is if we did it next Tuesday. Now, the thing is, that is a couple of days after WrestleMania. Do all of you out there want to wait until a Tuesday? I mean, I know with Jim Cornette and his podcast that he does recaps. They're released days after the shows happen. You know, so I know that there is, you know, an appetite for that. But, you know, do all of you prefer a recap right after Mania, same night? Or do you want to wait a couple of days? And, you know, that's something I would have to talk to Kev. I can't speak for him. But I'll ask him. And if that's something that he would possibly consider, then I'll put a poll up tomorrow in the community section on YouTube and you all vote. Do you want a recap Saturday night and Sunday night? by myself? Do you want just a Sunday night recap, both nights together? Or do you want to wait until Tuesday? The only thing about Tuesday is that it'll be audio only and it'll be pre-recorded. So I got to talk to him. So we'll see. But, you know, look, a few of you have asked, like, why did this suddenly come together? It's been thought of for a while. But I guess maybe WrestleMania put it over the top. And the response has been incredible. So if there was very little response, then, you know, maybe it would have been a one and done and that's it. So we'll see what happens. LaDude posted this earlier, and I saw a few of you post this as well. And, you know, I tell you like it is. My thoughts on the XPW penis spot from last night's show. All right, my friends, some of you actually tweeted me the footage. I did not watch it. As soon as I saw the few seconds, I turned it off. First of all, I'm not interested in seeing somebody's penis and what went down. Number two, sometimes when I check my emails, my wife is sitting right next to me. And, you know, the last thing I need to do is check my emails. Like once in a while, some people that I follow on YouTube, they will like or retweet some nude videos or two people having sex or maybe a funny viral video where somebody is, you know, in public getting sex and something happens. It's not fun for me to check my page. I'm friends with a couple of women that are in the adult film industry. And then my wife looks over and she's like, the fuck you got naked? What are you looking in? You know, you put me in a bad situation. But I will say this, warning, for those that are under 18, do not search it. And I know what some of you are going to say, oh, now I got to search it. Last night at XPW, there was a spot where somebody actually exposed their penis and a syringe was involved as well. And without looking at it, all I will say to you is if you think of the worst scenario, you know, the syringe and the penis, yeah, they met up for a cup of coffee, if you know what I mean. My honest take on it is this. Between Drake Wirtz, the former NXT referee, between him and that spot from last night, I'm glad that I'm not doing any work for XPW right now. Don't get me wrong, I miss it. Don't get me wrong, if Rob Black or somebody in XPW from today would have reached out to me last year and said, hey, DT, you know, we appreciate what you did for us back in 02, 03. You know, you think we could do some East Coast and get... I probably would have done it because it would have been a lot of nostalgia, you know, and try to get a little bit and getting back involved in some capacity. You know, like I said, when COVID hit, three indie wrestling federations here in New York, three reached out to me. Hey, DT, would you consider doing your managing again, Don Tony? And I said, yeah, as long as it's local and I don't have, it doesn't interfere with my day job, that's fine. And then the COVID pandemic hit, and they're like, all right, once it calms down, I have yet to hear from any of them. So, you know, I miss it. I'm not going to lie. And I would love to do it a little bit here and there again. I don't want to take anybody's job, but looking back on it, I am so glad that I'm not doing anything with XPW right now. What I saw for the few seconds earlier when it popped up on my feed, that is inexcusable. I don't understand the logic of doing something like that. 99.9% of the audience that sees that is going to find it repulsive, disgusting. Even if you do trend, and I know the phrase, talk good about me, talk bad about me, just talk about me, and I've been living by that for two decades. But in this case, though, you're going to have wrestlers that are not going to even think about going to XPW now. I mean, how do you increase your fan base? And not only that, what kind of fan base are you looking for? Who in their right mind thinks that what happened yesterday is fun or funny? It's not even about, you know, wrestling and what should be in garbage. That's not even garbage wrestling. That is just, even if it wasn't wrestling, I wouldn't want to even see that in a horror film. There's no excuse for that yesterday. It almost feels like, you know what it feels like to me, honestly? We had a shitty turnout. We're not making money. No matter what we try to do, you know, we're outcast again. So you know what? If you're going to treat us like shit, if you're not going to tune into the shows, if we're going to get this bullshit tiny audience, then you know what? Fuck it. Let's just fucking do whatever the fuck we want and just enjoy as we collapse. That's what it feels like. You know, some people out there, when they know that something is failing, sometimes they're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to enjoy myself. I just, no excuse for that, in my opinion. I don't know how you benefit from it. Not even for publicity. I don't know how you benefit from that. Totally awful. Totally awful. Roger Rubio, what's going on, Roger? Thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. He's got a three-hour drive Tuesday, checking out the band Alter Bridge. Yes, Edge's song. Do I like Edge's song? Any tips for a long drive? Yeah. Tips for a long drive? Podcast. Seriously. Doesn't have to be anybody. Podcast. And if you could get a podcast that is around 3 hours, even better. 2 hours, 2.5 hours is best. If you have a three-hour drive, get one that's around 2.5 hours. Because when the podcast ends, you look at your clock, you'd be like, oh shit, I only have 20 minutes to go. You don't want to get a podcast that's only an hour long because then you still got 2 hours left. We actually do that. Me and my wife, we'll put on a podcast that runs, you know, our drive is about 2 hours. So unless we do even if we do a ferry, it's still about 2 hours. So, you know, we'll put a podcast in there that's about an hour, hour and 45 minutes. I don't put my own stuff, but we put something in there, something we both enjoy. And then when it's over, you look and you're like, oh shit, we only have about 15, 20 minutes more of driving left. That's what I would do. And it keeps you, you know, invested in what this, it doesn't distract you, but that's what I would do. And as far as Edge's song, yeah, I am a fan of Edge's music. Edge's music is great. I mean, there are very few theme songs that I don't like. I mean, some of the worst theme songs in history I enjoyed. I was always a huge fan of theme music. And look, if you like Alter Bridge, that you're going to drive 3 hours, you know, that is awesome. That is awesome because in this day and age, there's not much that I would do, you know, it would entice me to drive 3 hours. There's a few exceptions, but have a good time, man. Have a good time, you know, definitely enjoy yourself. So, and I know that we have some Alter Bridge fans here because I do see the name pop up on occasion in the chat room. You know, I don't know what sparks it, but I definitely have seen it come up before. But thank you, Roger, and have a safe trip. All right. Casey is Raw. Gaming and Wrestling. What's up, DT? It's up to you, my friend. Thank you for the super chat. Much appreciated. Hope you have a wonderful WrestleMania 39 week. We are going to have a ball. I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun week. Not everything is going to be epic, spectacular, amazing. Look, the hair is raised on my arms, but there's going to be enough, you know, and it's been many, many years. Cody and Roman, the Usos, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, those two storylines alone and the build and the storylines to lead up to it, especially the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't remember the last time that a storyline that long, that complicated, entertained the fuck out of me every twist and turn. Every twist and turn of that storyline I have loved. And I'm not trying to talk down on anybody, but when Sami Zayn took on Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber, you know, again, I don't know if people were just, I'm talking in the news and the podcasting world, were they just ignorant and just foolish or got fooled? Or did they truly know deep down in their hearts that Sami Zayn had no shot of winning? They weren't going to put him in there because that fucks up Kevin Owens more than anything. But they still, up until that time, oh, Sami should be in the main event. It should be a three-way at WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. Never, ever, ever crossed my mind. So when it doesn't cross your mind, whether you believe it or it's clickbait, and you know that the end, The destination is the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, with those two defeating the Usos. If you know that's the destination all along, you know it's the destination. You sit back and you enjoy yourself. And every twist and turn, even some scenic routes, a lot of people felt that they milked it a couple of extra weeks. But you know what? Didn't matter. I still loved every minute of it. So we don't get that often, a storyline that goes for that long, for that many twists, and everything is hitting on all cylinders. Everything. To me, nothing. I can't think the last time with that storyline that I say, that's a miss. I don't know. And again, even though Sammy lost at Elimination Chamber in the record books, he won. He won. He cemented himself as a legitimate, just like Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre didn't need Clash at the Castle, but Drew McIntyre cemented himself as a main eventer for WWE, you know, back when COVID was first going on. And yeah, it sucked that he was the COVID champion, and I don't know if Drew McIntyre will ever get heavyweight championship gold again in WWE, but if Drew McIntyre were to main event something, I don't think anybody would object. If Drew McIntyre was put in a tag match with Cody on a house show, I don't think anybody would object to it. So, all right. Cappy Caveman. That pay-per-view made him embarrassed to be a deathmatch wrestling fan. He's talking about XPW. There's no excuse for that. You know, look, Drake works, even though the guy's a whack job. You know, if you're going to play a wrestling character, maybe you can use that and be a tremendous heel, but to see what we saw yesterday and hear about it, you know, it's, what was the purpose? Who, tell me how that benefits. It doesn't. And I could only imagine how many wrestlers, you know, you look back at XPW for the last 6 months, 8 months, they've had some pretty damn good talent on there. Not just deathmatch, not just hardcore. And I'm not crapping on the people that work there. I'm not talking about that. But they had some really good, you know, recognizable names. At least half of them are not going to go back. And what are you left with? I don't know, man. I'm baffled. Baffled by what I heard yesterday and a couple of seconds that I saw. All right. Let's head on over to the chat once again. Rams fan, does Solo versus Cody get a clean finish tomorrow on Raw? Yeah, I think Cody Rhodes is going to win that match. Believe it or not, I made a thumbnail for tomorrow. And I said, you know what? Maybe it's better to wait until WrestleMania is over to post it. But this, I think, is going to happen. I think, you know, we got the Bloodline. We're not getting, the Bloodline is going to turn into the bloodletting. And if you don't know what bloodletting means, it's not just, you know, you let the blood out. Who let the blood out? No, it's when an organization or a group, people, you know, turn within, the bloodletting. And I think in the very near future, this is going to happen. And Cody Rhodes is going to enjoy every minute of it. Roman Reigns is going to take it out on Solo Sikoa. Roman Reigns could take it out on the Usos. Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. Now, the difference is people kept saying that Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa for the championship because Roman is going to retain and he's going to keep at least one title to go into SummerSlam. And blah, 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 blah. No. No. Never. Never. But down the line, maybe Solo Sikoa accepts Roman Reigns' punishment. You know, we've seen that. We've seen, look at Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. Remember earlier last year when Ludwig Kaiser was failing and Gunther was chopping the shit out of him? They didn't split up. Imperium is still going on. Gunther, as Samantha Irvin would say. I fucking love Samantha Irvin. I love the way she, you could, I said it before people even started taking notice. Like, you feel like she's getting into it. Like she, and it's funny when she announces Ludwig Kaiser because she's always like, Ludwig Kaiser. Kaiser, like Kaiser. It's almost like she's whispering. Listen to next time when she announces Ludwig Kaiser. She's almost whispering. It's like Ludwig Kaiser. But when it's Gunther, she starts, he is the Intercontinental Champion, Gunther. I love it. I love it. But no, Cody Rhodes is going to overtake Solo Sikoa. He has to. He has to, because remember on SmackDown, Paul Heyman saying he's going to put Solo Sikoa out there as an obstacle for Cody Rhodes. So Solo Sikoa has to fail. I think it'll be a clean finish. And remember this. Has Solo Sikoa been pinned? Hasn't his losses been just DQ finishes? I mean, I could be wrong. I don't recall last week, you know, him getting pinned. Didn't he beat Kevin Owens? And that kind of led to, like, the SmackDown. This is 2 weeks ago. That might be Solo Sikoa's first pin. Monday's Raw might lead to Solo Sikoa being pinned for the first time on the main roster. I think that could happen. Because Solo Sikoa has not been pinned on the main roster. And this is why Solo Sikoa is the final obstacle for Cody Rhodes. Cody cannot fail. So, yeah, I think we may get a... Listen, some people think that the not being pinned streak should continue. For what? For what? If you're going to make the bloodline implode, you know, remember the term tsunami I've been using the last couple of months? If the bloodline is going to implode at WrestleMania, everybody needs to implode, including Solo Sikoa. No, his career doesn't implode by getting pinned for the first time, but it's got to happen. No one better than Cody Rhodes, in my opinion. Well, we'll see. We will know in a little more than 24 hours from now. And remember, no more sit-down episode until 2 weeks from now. What is that, the 16th? Is that the 16th? Yeah. 16th of April will be the next sit-down, because next week is WrestleMania. Even if I don't do a recap until that Tuesday, still, it's WrestleMania. So there's not going to be a sit-down. And the following week, I'm on vacation. So we won't be able to come back here next week and brag. But in spirit tomorrow, if Solo gets pinned, hey, we were talking about that on the sit-down. So Tristan Sloan. Personally, I don't believe this rumor myself, but what are my thoughts on the Macho Man and Stephanie McMahon rumor? Believe it or not, this is not a cop-out. Go on YouTube. Type in Don Tony, Macho Man, Stephanie. I was a guest on Huizy's show. It's got to be like 2 years ago. And we talked about this very topic, and I talked in detail about it. And, you know, I don't want to give away everything that I said, but it was very, very, very well received. In my gut feeling, do I think Macho Man and Stephanie did anything? I don't think so. I do believe that Stephanie McMahon, being a teenager, had a crush on a lot of larger-than-life superheroes in WWF. You know, I mean, when we were teenagers, you know, if you're in your 50s and your 60s, you probably have Farrah Fawcett on your wall. If you're in the 90s, you probably have Pamela Anderson on your wall. You know, like, teenagers have crushes on older people. Now imagine, you know, her having a crush on maybe the Macho Man, and on top of it, she gets to actually interact with him. You know, you have a crush on someone, but then you get to personally be able to talk. So I don't believe anything ever happened, but I believe that maybe Stephanie had a crush on Macho Man, and maybe it led to some awkward feeling. You know, maybe, you know, like the vibe amongst dad and mom was, you know, Stephanie, we gotta, you know, we have to have a talk. So that's my opinion on it. We'll never know the truth. We'll never know the truth. And honestly, I don't think it really matters. All right. Will Rally Sport Rally. My thoughts on Brian Cage. Do I think he's going to go straight to the WWE after Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor? Brock Lesnar versus Brian Cage, or Bobby Lashley versus Brian Cage would be awesome. I like Brian Cage, and I have not held back in the past. I always thought that he could be a star in WWE. The problem is, you know, his mic skills aren't the strongest, but I also say neither was AJ Styles when he first came into WWE, and neither were others, and they just pick it up. I mean, hell, Brock Lesnar, who'd have ever thought the last couple of years Brock Lesnar would be this fucking entertaining on the mic? So if Brian Cage, if anybody could help him, it's WWE. The thing is that you hear a lot of stories about Brian Cage being a little flaky behind the scenes. Now, I'm not there to witness it, so I don't know how much of it is true and how much of it might just be the way, you know, the wrestlers just bounce off of his, you know, his, the way he operates. But, you know, WWE has had some very quirky people in the past. So do, in my gut feeling, do I think Brian Cage goes to WWE? I'd be surprised. I would like to see him in WWE. I want to see Powerhouse Hobbs in the WWE. I think WWE would fucking do right for that guy. Hell of a, oh man, I just like envision what could go down. I could picture, and it's not even a black thing. I could picture MVP being his manager like that. I could see him fucking ruling. Brian Cage, though, I have my doubts. I have my doubts. One thing I will say is Brian Cage does not cause trouble. You know what I mean? Like, you don't ever hear him getting into any legal troubles. You know, there's no evidence that he does anything, you know, illegal to supplement his physique. So, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't give him a shot. Personally, I think if WWE were to bring him in, you bring him in NXT first. Seriously. I know a lot of people think, oh, what a step down. No, bring him in NXT first. See how that works. And then you build from there. Plus, there's so much going on the main roster right now. You know, you got to make room. That's why I laugh whenever I see, you know, with these people with these tweets to get thousands of likes. WWE, bring Indy Hartwell to the roster, to the main roster now. I saw it last week. WWE, bring Indy Hartwell to the main roster now. I'm like, for what? To job to Rhea Ripley? Like, I love Indy Hartwell. Her and Dexter Lumis' storyline is awesome. I watch NXT almost every week. You know, I don't just read results. I like, and I feel bad that she's still on the NXT roster. You bring her to the main roster, what's going to happen? She's going to, what, beat Xia Li? Beat Lacey Evans? How is she going to leapfrog about 10 women on that main roster? How? How? You're going to bring her to the main roster and then what? Because you didn't witness in real time the love storyline with Dexter Lumis, that NXT didn't attract you enough to tune in every week, and you got to see it afterwards, and you want that relived so you could experience it? Because what else are you going to do with her? You bring it to the main roster, and then what? And then what? Realign her with Dexter Lumis? Really? That's my honest opinion on it. I would love to see her in the main roster, but I also look at it with a little bit of realism, and I'm like, okay, you know, what are the chances she actually defeats X, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, E, F, G? And it is at least 10 women that I honestly feel there ain't no way she's going to overtake them right now. She can't even overtake a lot of the women in NXT. Yes, it's entertainment, it's predetermined, but even perception. You see her in the ring with someone and you say 9 times out of 10, you know, she's going to lose. It doesn't mean that she wrestles bad. It's just right now, it's not her time. The one thing that's in her favor is she's very young. So 6 months from now, maybe an opportunity opens up and then you see what happens. But right now, no, that's just, you know, to feel, it's the feel good moment. And then you bring it to the main roster and then what? Look at Emma. That's the perfect example. Look at Emma. You look at B-Fab. Look at some others. There's nothing wrong with them, especially Emma, how talented she is. And everybody's like, oh, Triple H, Booker of the Decade, Triple H. That Elmo meme with all the fire, like, oh, he's amazing, epic. And I'm saying to myself, how the fuck is she going to overtake all these women? And look what happened with her. Seriously. You know, bringing someone to the main roster just to have that wonderful feeling inside that your favorite booker came through and righted the wrong that Vince McMahon did. And now what? And now what? You know, it's almost like a little kid that has five boxes of toys and mommy or daddy goes, takes one of the boxes and sells it to a fucking used toy lot. And the little kid is wailing and is crying and, you know, how could you do that? How could you get rid of my toys? That's so, that means the world to me. Oh, my God, why did you do that? And mommy saves the day. We'll call her Hunter. And Hunter goes back to the toy store without daddy knowing. And she says, how much for these toys back? My husband made a big mistake. I'll give you double. And she buys all the toys and she brings it back home. And the little kid is crying with happiness. Mommy, thank you so much. Fuck you, Daddy Vince. Thank you so much, Mommy Hunter. Thank you. You brought my toys back. And guess what happens? The toys go back in the closet and they collect dust. They collect dust. Kevin Milwaukee with the five spot. Thank you very much, Kevin. Much appreciated. Listening to the old crazy eyes Matt Menard talk, I just want to clarify, as someone from the Midwest, that a Minnesota accent certainly differs from a Canadian accent. You know what's funny about Matt Menard? I'm an Italian. I live in Howard Beach, Queens, New York, a couple of blocks from John Gotti. Members of his family went to my wedding in 1999. I know a lot of real gangsters, former gangsters, cardboard gangsters, wannabe gangsters. And I will tell you, Matt Menard, when I watch him on TV every week, and he screams and cut these promos, I almost feel like he's trying out for like a reprieve of The Sopranos. Like he comes off as someone who's trying to be like a deep Italian from this neck of the woods. And it's not, I mean, he entertains me. And I never thought that 2.0 would entertain me. And they do decent. I'm not going to criticize them. But he overdoes it with this perceived Italian accent. And I know some people are going to say DT is not trying to be Italian. Oh, believe me, even if you didn't notice it before, now you'll notice it and be like, fucking guy, what the fuck is going on with him? When I talk sometimes, people find it funny. It's either because of the Italian that comes out of me or they think I sound like Paul Heyman. And, you know, it is what it is. But Matt Menard, oh, He even when he says things in sports entertainment, like, hey, how you doing? Hey, we're the leaders of sports entertainment. Like he's trying to be a low budget Stax from NXT. You know, hey, for over 50 years, we've been the leaders of sports entertainment. Hey, how you doing? Give me a half a pound of ham. Hey, do me a favor. Slice my cold cuts with your left hand. Fucking entertain me. I need a little bit of entertainment. He sounds almost like there's something wrong with him. Like he's got a speech impediment. You know, in sports, anything. I like Matt Menard, though. I like Matt Menard. But that to me, it feels like he's doing a little bit too much Italian. I know he's not going to see this or hear this, but trust me, I like 2.0. They entertain me, but that over the top, it feels like he's trying to be like cardboard gangster from this neck of the woods. So, all right. We have about 13 minutes left. Time flies when you're having fun. I'm having fun, but we got to spread it out evenly this week. I mean, I know there's a lot of other podcasters that you all tune into. I'm not going to be greedy and put 35 hours of split entertainment out there, you know, during the week. We're going to keep it tight, nice, you know, not too long. This way everybody can enjoy as much as they can and still have time to check out the other podcasters and their forms of sport entertainment. Come today. Don't forget, everyone, for our Patreon family, come today. Come Tuesday. I know that says Thursday. Thursday will be online for everybody. But if you're a Patreon, listen, it's not a money grab. Don't sign up on Patreon because I got to have it Tuesday night. If you want to sign up, you sign up because you got the whole archive of what we do also. So don't do it just for that. But this week's going to be fun. Garth Overstein, what is the ECW Ultimate Jeopardy Steel Cage match? My honest opinion or the way to answer that is, you know, you got to go watch You got to go watch. I mean, it was one match. I don't know if they did it a second time. I almost felt at the time it was their version of trying to be War Games to an extent. Or, you know, like, listen, ECW didn't have the money like that. So ECW tried to enhance the cage to not just be a cage match. You know, they had some fun cage matches over the years. But when you got 1994, 1995, they didn't have money like that. They tried to be a little bit over the top by calling it Ultimate Jeopardy. Public Enemy, I think, was involved with it. Was Scorpio involved with it? The Gangsters might have been involved with it. Sandman. You got to go online. There's video of it. You know, look, if we had a whole library of Ultimate Jeopardy matches, you know, if it was like Elimination Chamber, then we could cherry pick here. But it was just one time, maybe two. So check it out online. It was a fun concept, but I think ECW realized we don't need that. Like, the fan base was so hardcore that I didn't need no War Games like, or this, you know, giant, you know, what was that cage match where Abdullah the Butcher got electrocuted, whatever that shit was called in WCW? It almost felt like they were Chamber of Horrors. It wasn't to that extent, but it was like, okay, you know, we didn't just have cage matches. We had this. There was no Hell in a Cell at the time. There was no Elimination Chamber. It was just an enhanced cage match. And it really wasn't needed. Stephen Chambers, what's my take on a CM Punk rant on Instagram? Well, I talked about it yesterday for about 20 minutes. You go here. I'll put a link up afterwards. So remember, 52 minutes. No, my honest take on it is, you know, I'll say this that I didn't say yesterday. Ooh. What the hell did I just do? I just dropped my soda on my keyboard. Thank God it was closed. I almost accidentally just ended the show. No, look, my honest... Oh, wait a minute. Are you talking about I met Shawn Michaels? Are you talking about that? If you're talking about that, I'm not going to repeat what I put up yesterday. You could go check out yesterday's episode. But I will tell you this. CM Punk was trolling. CM Punk cut and pasted an old message board post that's in like the Trolling Hall of Fame. To give you a short synopsis of it, about 12 years ago, there was a thread online where somebody had asked, you know, have you ever met any sports, you know, sport entertainers, anybody in sports? Have you met anybody? Like, what's your experiences? And about 12 years ago, no, Austin, it's not just trolling. Let me explain. About 12 years ago, somebody in response to a regular thread, you ever meet somebody in sports? Somebody posted, you know, I once met Peyton Manning. And I was at this restaurant and I was sitting at apparently his favorite table. And the owner made a mistake and thought Peyton Manning was coming on a Tuesday and it was a Thursday. And you know, and then it ended with, you know, he was so nice to me. He gave me his card and told me to call him later on. And I did. And we had an 11-month affair and we had, you know, beautiful sex all across 6 or 7 continents. It started with Peyton Manning. Couple of years later, somebody posted a thread about wrestling. Did you ever meet anybody in wrestling? Somebody cut and paste the same thread about Peyton Manning, just replaced it with Shawn Michaels. And it took a life of its own. And every couple of years back then, somebody would repost it. And some people would get fooled and actually say, you know, did you hear about this guy that met Shawn Michaels? It's just, CM Punk was cutting and pasting, I think, more the show that people don't even research. They'll just take something and just post it as news, you know, or CM Punk posts this very strange. Trust me, there's a lot of people out there, including me. As soon as we saw it, we started laughing because I go back to the 90s with the message boards and the chats and this and that. So, you know, that thread, we've seen it many times over the years. This day and age, there's a lot of people who had never seen it before. But CM Punk was just trolling and cutting and pasting random stuff, and people were reporting in his news. As far as him getting mad at Dave Meltzer and Chris Jericho, you know, it nothing has changed in the journalism world. When he went after Nick Houseman at the media scrum and then ranted on AEW and the EVPs that feed the crumbs to all these journalists, did anything change? No. If anything, it got worse. And you see it even now with Dave Meltzer. I felt bad for Dave Meltzer because he thought what he was given about CM Punk was 100% accurate, and it wasn't. It was an interpretation by somebody behind the scenes in AEW, and CM Punk called him out for it. A lot of these wrestlers have it. I mean, a lot of these journalists have not learned nothing. They have not learned a damn thing. So you think CM Punk, if he returns, suddenly he's going to have a good relationship with the media? They haven't changed. Look at Miro. We have exposed that. It's like 9 months now. The Dima, you know, and it just happened again. Oh, he refused to be in a battle royal with Hangman Page and lose it. Why? Why? Because he's going to do voice for a cartoon and everybody's like, hey, how come they're not using Miro? So an EVP gives a journalist, hey, post this about Miro. This way, those fans could say, you know what? Fuck him. He didn't want to help Hangman Page. He's so selfish, he can't lose a battle royal. Fuck him. That's why that was done. That's why that was done. Why do you wait 9 months to post that online? Why is that kept in the back pocket? It's kept for a rainy day. Thank you, Chaos, for the kind words. Listen, I pay attention to some of those social media alternatives online, from Reddit to Facebook, and I see the haters and the people out there, you know, and I've realized I'm never, ever going to win them over. So, you know, I focus on talking to the people that actually want to hear sometimes brutal honesty. And the DMs that I get from people, from everyday folk, friends, you know, people in wrestling, when I read and see that, you know, it makes it all worth it. And I will never, ever change. So I appreciate it. When people like you and others take note of it, you know, I never change. I keep doing it, and that's fine. That's fine. Trust me, I'd rather just tell it like it is and not clickbait it or anything like that. It's awful. It's awful to see what's going online, whether it's Miro Andrade or Malachi Black, and you see the pattern. You see who is getting it. That's why the CM Punk thing, you know, as time goes by, I mean, us selfish wrestling fans, we want to see him back on TV. If he could go and he's not fragile, I want to see him kick somebody's ass, whether it's in AEW, WWE, or somewhere else. But, you know, I don't think WWE wants to revisit that. And, you know, you see what's going on. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Why would they change? You'd think those people behind the scenes, listen, if those people behind the scenes really wanted to mend fences with CM Punk for the betterment for AEW and to give the fans something special, then they wouldn't be so complacent about putting so much Ring of Honor shit on TV and the ratings get hurt by it. Or Forbidden Door. You should have did Forbidden Door with Ring of Honor. That's what you should have done it with. But no, they done it with Dynamite. And now for the next 2 months, we're going to get these influxes from people from New Japan that can't even get 60,000 viewers on their own regular TV show. But they're going to do it because, you know, this is they're not out to make the most money, to attract the most fans. They just want to, every day, every week, it's cake and ice cream. I got to see my favorite. I got to see Moxley. I got to see Omega. I got to see the Young Bucks. I got to see Brian Danielson. I got to see Adam Cole. I got to see blah, 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 blah. I don't care who they fight. He could fight Pizza Uno. He could fight Numero Uno. He could fight Uno, Dos, Tres. El Uno, Dos, Tres from parts unknown. But I got to see my favorites. I don't care. And then when a storyline is halfway decent, they got to like shove it in people's faces. Oh, you see, everybody complains about no storylines. Is that? That's when you know that the storylines suck. When something remotely is decent and it's got to be like Tony Khan's got to talk about it and fans got to talk about it and it's got to talk about it and long-term booking and this and that, blah, 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 blah. You know, when something is good, you don't have to say a fucking word. You don't have to say a word. But you got to throw it in people's faces. That's when you know. It's just like when in interrogation, When an interrogation, if you ever watch cop shows with interrogations, and they do this Reed technique and others, what do? They examine and they listen to people who are being questioned. And sometimes when the people questioned have to add a couple additional sentences, or they have to say something to reassert themselves, like, you know, do you do drugs? No, I never do drugs. In fact, you could drug test me right now and I will come back clean. I just asked you a yes or a no question. But you have to add all this extra stuff on it because you have to convince me beyond a shadow of a doubt that you don't do drugs. And that's to basically try to convince me that if you're innocent here, then you're innocent everywhere else. And that's why these people online, that's why I don't even waste my time. They think they're doing something epic amazing by talking down on everyone like, you see, Vecchio, you didn't give a shit. You didn't care about this. And look what the match we got. People aren't stupid. You know, if I based my fandomhood or my life on what people tweet, stick a fork in me and I'm done. Seriously. I'm done. The funny thing is that these people online don't even think about stuff like that. I'm no psychologist. I'm no investigator. But why do you think people examine and they see how people react? When you have to add 2, 3, 4, 7 sentences to something, you have to try, you not only have to tell me, you have to try to convince me beyond a shadow of a doubt, because in the back of your mind, you know that it's shaky as shit. All right. Let's get out of here in 5 minutes. So let's make these count. I'm looking to see who has not asked something yet. Thank you, Maggie. She loves my honesty, not to mention my humor. I don't even think about it. That's probably why I used to get in trouble so much with the shows. I don't think about stuff beforehand. Now I'm a little bit more careful, you know, because of this day and age, you know, some things, even if it's lighthearted, you know, people are just looking for something as ammunition to try to hurt somebody. I don't want to feed them, but, you know, I just tell it like it is. People don't like me because of it, whatever. Like I said, the people that hate me, I realize now I ain't going to do nothing that's going to change their mind. There are people out there that just want to hate. Like I said, look at the reaction that Kevin and I did a show again. I mean, even Kevin on this past Tuesday's Patreon even admitted that he was kind of surprised that some people that didn't even mention it, and he feels that there are people out there that do not want to see us doing stuff again. And it's pretty eye-opening. All we do is one show. And it was, you know, you'd think after all this time, nothing. It was pretty wild. So, you know, but I will say this. I want to make this clear, especially if my haters is watching this right now. If we do more shows, and if it happens on a more consistent basis in the future, which I don't know, we haven't talked about it, but if it happens, I will promise you that anything that we do is for those who will support us, not to piss off the haters. That is the biggest difference about me. Other than not into politics anymore, I don't do shit to trigger haters anymore. I don't give a fuck about the haters. Honestly, and I know this sounds cold, but when I see some of these haters go on social media and like, could you keep me and my family and my prayers and this and that? I'm like, oh, fuck you. I don't give a shit about you. It sucks whatever you're going through, and I don't wish that on nobody, but I ain't fucking thinking about you, you know, because when shit happens to me, you know, it's like people are giddy. They're happy. You know, got those warm emojis. You know, they got to make sure that you see it on a search. If you ever check, you know, to see, hey, what are people, you know, what are their reactions or about the content? And you read some of this stuff. And the people that have done me dirty, if I find out that something tragically happened to some of them tomorrow, it doesn't affect me at all. I don't want to see anybody hurt. I don't focus on those people anymore. I don't care, because there's nothing I could do that is going to change how they are. So I just focus on those that I do care about. And honestly, that's the recipe for happiness. Some people get happy by putting people down. That's why you see what happened with Riho and others and this and that. And I don't blame Cornette. He had nothing to do with it. But you see every day that there's a lot of people online that just get enjoyment by putting people down. And when karma bites them in the ass because they're not invincible And probably they have a lot of bad shit going on, which is why they do what they do. Trust me, there's a lot of people out there that are just sitting back and they're like, wow, that sucks for you. And that's it. All right. Because I ranted those 5 minutes, we'll do 5 more minutes. All right. Do I think Bray Wyatt shows up at next Friday's SmackDown or WrestleMania? My gut feeling is that Bobby Lashley is going to... Listen, Bobby Lashley is going to be at WrestleMania. You know, I mentioned this yesterday. You know, I posted on Twitter because I asked somebody that I trust. I said, listen, I know Bobby Lashley's in the Battle Royal next week on SmackDown. Is he still set for WrestleMania? And the person said, yes, LA Knight as well. So I thought I was doing a good thing. I went on Twitter and I said, listen, guys, Bobby Lashley and LA Knight are still scheduled for WrestleMania 39 besides the Battle Royal. Only two people gave a shit about it. I let it sit for an hour. And I just sat back and I watched. And I saw people going on these passionate rants. Oh, fuck you, WWE. Fucking you put LA Knight and Bobby Lashley. That's the best you could do for especially Bobby Lashley. Fuck you. They weren't interested in like, oh, they're still going to be for WrestleMania 39. All right, so I'll wait and see what happens. No, they ignored that so they could just use it to say, fuck you to WWE. I deleted it. There's a lot of people on, they don't want to know the truth. As far as Bray Wyatt, my gut feeling is that Bobby Lashley shows up at Mania, is pissed off. I think he even goes on the mic and says, I'm pissed off. And he wants to beat on somebody. Up until recently, I thought Bray Wyatt still comes out. The problem is, you kept that back, held back for several weeks because Bray Wyatt's been ill. That is a lot to catch up on in one WrestleMania moment. Bray Wyatt coming back to TV might be better suited after WrestleMania. I wonder if there is a surprise waiting for Bray Wyatt. I mean, waiting for Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania that is not named Bray Wyatt. Who that person is, I am not going to even speculate. But I think something is going to be big for Bobby Lashley. And I think that'll make up for what happened. Trust me, WWE really cares about Bobby Lashley, and they really do appreciate him. They value Bobby Lashley big. They don't want to pass up on this WrestleMania and not give him something good. Trust me, something good will happen for Bobby Lashley. I will be shocked if that doesn't happen. All right. Let's see. All right, let's do one more question, and then we'll call it. So don't forget, tomorrow after Raw, it'll be the final Raw before WrestleMania. We will definitely recap it. We will see if any specific matches are announced for night one or night two. As of right now, I think we only have two or three matches announced for night one. Well, only two, but the Usos, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn is going to be night one. So we'll see tomorrow if somebody gets announced for the Hall of Fame. A lot of rumors that somebody will be announced tomorrow. So they don't want to waste one of the two final TV shows without mentioning somebody new. So I think we will get another inductee tomorrow. I think it'll be a woman. You know, it's not about man or woman thing, but they obviously have to announce someone. I think it comes down to Stacey Keibler or Melina. I'm still thinking Melina for that Hollywood, you know, explanation I gave before. I have not talked to Kenny Bolin recently, Chaos, other than wishing him a happy birthday. And I know he was going through some tough stuff as well, but, no, I haven't talked to him. It was funny because he actually, when I tweeted him the other day, he thought that I was Mike DiBiase or somebody related to Ted DiBiase because the last name is very similar, but, no, I haven't talked to him, but, you know, I definitely want to do something with him down the line. We were going to do something a while back and it just didn't happen. So what are my thoughts if Tony Khan signs Goldberg? I think if he signs Goldberg, Goldberg would be a heel. I think the fans would dictate that. I think Goldberg could help somebody like Wardlow, you know, almost maybe as a mentor or something like that. Let me put it this way. I don't know if Goldberg would be a good fit for AEW. Tony Khan's answer to that question in the interview the other day was funny, you know, because as I mentioned on Wednesday, if you didn't tune in, you know, he answered, you know, and said the same thing like three or four times in the same phrase. You know, we'll keep our eyes on him. What does that even mean? We'll keep our eyes on Goldberg. Yeah, you know, Goldberg is an asset, and there's no question he's a good guy, and he's Jacksonville name, and we'll keep our eyes on that. And I'm like, what the fuck's that mean? Like, MLW might sign him? Like, what does that mean, we'll keep eyes on him? You know, the guy's in his 50s. What do you mean, keep eyes on him? When you actually take a step back and you think about it, it makes no sense. I don't know if Goldberg would be a good fit. Maybe you bring him in as a special guest referee. Maybe you do something like that. I personally think if you do something like that, maybe you could lead for a little more. But I think him being a mentor towards maybe somebody like Wardlow, maybe that would be good. I don't know. But all right, last question from the Bep Jr. Do I see the draft happening 2 weeks after WrestleMania or May or after the Saudi show? I don't know. I mean, honestly, the draft is happening this year. They definitely are going to shuffle the roster. And it's very important that they shuffle the roster because there are some people who are absolutely stuck in the mud. And shuffling the roster, you could put somebody on a brand without a storyline attached to it. You know, you could pick anybody you want. I don't want to start naming names, but you could pretty much figure out who's stuck in the mud. But you think of somebody who's on SmackDown right now who's stuck in the mud. You say to yourself, wow, that person was on Raw. That person could go against this person, but how do you do it? Oh, you do the draft. You don't need a storyline. They're on Raw, that's it. I personally think you should do it sooner than later. Does it happen before Saudi Arabia? It's possible, because Saudi Arabia is in late May. The only thing you got to realize, though, is WWE has the Puerto Rico event, Backlash, in early May. WrestleMania this weekend is the beginning of April. That leads you only about 4 weeks to Backlash. Like, where do you catch your breath? Personally, if it was up to me, I would do the draft after Saudi Arabia. I would do it after Saudi Arabia. Because you don't need the rosters to be shuffled right now. Because Backlash, you could easily come up with some opponents. Saudi Arabia, you could have King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring. And whoever wins those could get a title shot. So you don't even need a storyline there. If you're smart about it, you could have somebody on SmackDown win King of the Ring and then challenge somebody on Raw. Yes, Cody Rhodes holds both titles. I get it. But you could do that on the women's side. Have somebody win Queen of the Ring that's on Raw. Maybe Asuka, for example. Asuka wins Queen of the Ring and she challenges Rhea Ripley or Charlotte Flair, whoever's the SmackDown. Remember what I said. When we do predictions with Kevin, I'm going to remind everyone something I said about a month ago. That Rhea Ripley, if she wins that championship, how is her status in Judgment Day affected since she is now a SmackDown star? And Finn Balor and Damian Priest and Dominic are Raw wrestlers. Something that nobody's thinking about. So I would wait till after Saudi Arabia. Because you really don't need the draft for Backlash or for Saudi Arabia. But look, WWE does not want to take their foot off the gas. There's no question for quite some time now, WWE has their foot pinned on that gas. Every week is crucial with these negotiations for a sale. And listen, it's not news, but I'll leave you with this. Vince McMahon will be at WrestleMania. Vince McMahon will be entertaining executives that are interested in buying WWE. Vince McMahon and WWE are going to make sure that WrestleMania is the biggest fucking incredible massive event in history to entice those people even more why they should buy WWE. Once WrestleMania is over, now they're going to build to Puerto Rico. They're not letting their foot off the gas. So it's not letting up. We're not going to get those days. Unless the deals are pulled off the table and they work out TV rights, those days where it feels like WWE, they didn't put too much thought into WrestleMania Backlash, and you know, Extreme Rules is kind of crappy, and they ain't taking their foot off the gas at all. So that's something to look forward to going into the summer. Once the summer comes and goes, that's when it gets very, very interesting. And if there is no sale and they do work out a TV deal, then and only then might we see WWE kind of like ease back a little bit. Because you look at WWE for the last 6 to 8 months, and not just because Vince took a step back, there is something different about WWE as far as perception and big events, because they're making, listen, you pay attention to social media. Social media will tell you the opposite. They will tell you, oh, Vince is fucking everything up. When you see every week, Raw just grossed the biggest event, grossing event on Raw in history. SmackDown, biggest grossing event in history. Elimination Chamber, the most money that they've generated in history. This, 50 million views. You see all these records. Have you heard anybody reporting WWE's charging $300 a ticket? No wonder why they're making record. Have you seen anybody do that? No. They haven't tripled the prices. You don't see anybody bringing that up. So they're not taking their foot off the gas. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, you know what to do. If you know anyone out there that might like the channel, let them know about it. And I'm going to get out of here. So once again, tomorrow night after Raw, 11:05 p.m., I will be right here giving you a Raw recap. We'll keep it on the quick side. Tonight, we went 75 minutes, a little more than an hour, but very, very, you know, not too far after that. We'll do the same tomorrow. And then Tuesday, the Q&A will be posted Tuesday for everybody as well online. So I held it until Tuesday because Tuesday's really the only day that we're not putting something online for everyone. But tomorrow's Raw post show. Tuesday will be the Q&A. Patreon Tuesday will get Kevin and I doing live predictions. Wednesday will be your normal Dynamite episode. Thursday, our predictions will be available for everybody online. Friday will be probably the day off. And then we got to figure out what we're going to do with Mania next weekend. Again, if you want to dictate or be part of the voting on what we do next weekend, make sure you check out the community section on Monday. I'm going to DM Kevin tomorrow morning to see if there's any chance that he wants to do a recap maybe next Tuesday. And again, we're not doing it live. And we can't do it on YouTube because of copyright issues with theme music and all that other stuff. But I'll see what he says. If he is available, then I will let everybody vote. Whatever you decide is what I'll do. So either next weekend I'll have it completely free, or next weekend you'll have two shows back to back. So thanks, everybody. Much love. Enjoy the rest of your evening. For my international friends, enjoy the rest of your morning. And I hope to see you later this week. Be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear we from always somebody. Called each You're going to like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.